Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, balancing form and essence with Reiki master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence. In the series of interviews with students, I have had the great pleasure of reconnecting sometimes with people and also reconnecting with my memories, because I met the masters of Hawaii Otakata 30 years ago. And in those days, we were 30 years younger. And my impressions of who they were have grown over the years. And one of the things that I really dearly love about all these people is that we have grown into what I would call real characters. And one of the people that has been very dear to me and have had close relationships all the time through these 30 years has been a master named Juan Yutuan, who is from Sweden and came to Canada when she was a young woman. And I met her after she had had several children in a little farmhouse out in the middle of British Columbia. And that's where I met a lot of the Canadian Reiki masters that my grandmother initiated. Wanya was also a devotee of Baba Muktananda, and met a lot of people in the ashram there. And through that connection, she ended up coming to Australia. So this is my little pre-story for the interview that we're going to do today with a woman whose names, we've just had this wonderful discussion about her name, so I'm going to let her introduce herself. I knew her first as Leslie and then as Lalita, and she lived in Sydney, and I had a wonderful time visiting her in her wonderful house in Glebe. But now she's moved out, and we're all a bit older now. Leslie, Lalita, Leora, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and could you just talk a little bit about your names? I mean, the conversation that we've just had has been really wonderful.
Mm. When I was born, I was actually called Lakey. That was my Yiddish name,
uh-huh.
My Jewish name.
Yeah,
but all Jewish kids have to have a street name.
Right.
And so I was called Leslie,
yeah,
after my grandfather.
Uh-huh. And I just want to break in, because when she told me that her Yiddish name was Lakey, I said, well, that's how they pronounce somewhat Reiki in Japanese, because, of course, the Japanese don't have the hard R. So we were laughing about this, that she was called Lakey, and this is a little bit of...
And I never used it.
Yeah.
Practice,
well, it was
practice.
Yeah, practice, practice, practice. Okay. So then?
And then Baba Muktananda gave me the name Lalita, which I used for 20-odd years. And then I used to play music professionally, and when we came to northern New South Wales, people who knew me back then wanted me to start playing music again. So it became sane to use the name Leora, because that's who people knew me as. So now I have, when I answer the phone, I just never know whether it's Lalita or Leora that I have to answer the phone as. So, but I can handle it because I'm a Gemini and it appeals to both
Good.
Sides of me.
Great. And the other day we were just off the top of my head, I called her Leslie, which was really interesting. I didn't know where that came from. That was like a blast from the past.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway.
It's the first time anyone's called me that in a long time.
But you answered, which is really amazing.
It was scary.
Amazing. So, Leora, can you tell me how you came into connection with Reiki?
Mm. I was living in Ganeshpuri Ashram and in Maharashtra, India, which is the main Siddha Yoga ashram. And next to me, in the next room to me, there was a Canadian woman called Juan Yutuan, and she had her two daughters, Annalie and Chrissy. And my favourite line is that one year used, Annalie and Chrissy used to babysit my daughter, Anasuya, and one year used to babysit me. And that's how it felt, because I had suffered from post-traumatic stress from being scalded as a baby. And everybody I met at some point in the first few months of our relationship, I would manage to alienate and get them angry. And so I used to try and get people angry from the beginning so I knew what I was dealing with.
Can I just interrupt you? So when you said you were scalded?
Scalded. With hot boiling water.
With hot boiling water over your body.
I had third degree burns.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of trauma in the hospital. And, you know, a lot of emotional trauma from there. Which was never addressed. So it was a walking trauma unit. And one year was the first person who I never managed to get angry.
I can totally believe that. Now, that's a wonderful thing to have said about Wanya. She's amazing.
Yeah, and she was the first person I felt safe with. And I started feeling my defences drop. And she saw me coming back from the toilet one day, and I was doubled over in pain. I had used to get really bad period pains from the moment I started my periods. It was like 2 days of the month were just cactus. And she offered me healing. And I'd been in a healing group years before, a New Age healing group that had almost destroyed me energetically. The last thing I wanted was for somebody to give me healing. But because I trusted her so much, I didn't want to refuse. So I lay there, and she put her hands on one side, and Annalie had this book that she propped on my stomach and just put her head down and put her hands on me. It was like she was going to read. She didn't want to be there. And I just lay there for about 10 minutes, and I didn't feel anything particular, except I felt the pain, which was slitting your wrist pain, reduced to being able to handle pain. And it must have been 10 or 15 minutes. And then when you gave me another session at some other time, and I didn't think anything had happened. The healing that I did was much more powerful in terms of what I felt and, you know, what I could do. So I just didn't think anything had happened. And then in the Sydney ashram, people had invited one year to come and do a Reiki workshop. And the manager said to me, we can't have it here, so let's have it at your place. I had a flat just across the road from the ashram. And she said, we can't do it. We've got too much to do. You organise it. So I didn't even know what she was talking about, because I don't think one year ever talked about Reiki. It is Reiki. It was just this thing that she did.
Right.
And so I organised the workshop, and a friend of mine asked me. She's a yoga teacher who's salt of the earth. Aussie. Anybody living in New South Wales understands Sylvania Waters. She's from Sylvania. And she said to me, well, does this thing called Reiki really work? And I was about to say, well, dog my cats, honey, I don't know. That was the mental thing. And the words stuck in my throat, because I realised that 40 minutes of Reiki had cleared up a condition that I'd had since I was 13, and that probably was an ovarian cyst that was about to burst. I mean, that was my understanding later on when I treated people with ovarian cysts. So it was just incredible. And so I started organising the Reiki workshop, not intending to do it. I didn't want to have anything to do with healing. And organised the workshop, and it was in the lounge room. It was my one room flat. So
it was in your one room?
It was in the one room, yeah. I had a bedroom, so. And then when she took people into the bedroom to do the initiations, she sort of beckoned to me, and we were all sitting in a circle at that stage, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just tell her when I get inside that I'm not doing it. And I said, but I'm not doing this. And she just looked at me and said, sit. So I sat, and that was it. That was the beginning of the end. After that, it was all too late.
And then, how was the class for you?
terrible.
Terrible.
I had a migraine headache all the way through it. I could hardly stay conscious. Because I'd been a healer, I thought I had a lot to offer. And, of course, one, you just didn't, you know, it was like she just dealt with me. And I think I spent most of the class unconscious. The one thing that I recognized from the class was when I was lying on the mattress on the floor having hands on, it was the first time I could let anyone touch me and go into a space where I was unaware of people touching me. Because of my history, if anybody touched me, I was always on edge the whole time until the hands were off, no matter what the touch was. And I just remember coming out of this amazing space and realizing that I'd let people touch me, mm-hmm. a group of people touch me. Yeah. And my daughter got Reiki at the same time. Yeah.
Did she ask for it?
No. But she was eager, so it's not that she asked, but she was very accepting.
Uh-huh. How old was she then?
Six.
Six? Wow, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And Wanya's... the way that she holds Reiki is really interesting for me. Each of us has a kind of what I would call a perspective of Reiki that is really unique. And I feel like Wanya's perspective or the way that she holds Reiki is that it's really a family affair.
Yes.
So I can imagine that she was very, she just saw Anasuya and since she had known her in the ashram, probably said, you.
Sort of, yeah.
Because I know that she had her, all of her children initiated and has followed through with her whole family being initiated in all the different levels of Reiki.
Yeah.
And
the one you didn't really tell us what to do. You know, she didn't really give any real directive. She just gave what she gave and left it up to us to follow what, you know, practice what we practice, really. But the one thing that she said was that Mrs. Takata said that Reiki should be a household art, like baking bread, and that it should be just a natural part of the family life. And she also initiated my partner at the time. In the next workshop, she did two workshops. And the one directive that she gave me was that you must always put your family first. There was never a choice. It was always family comes first in any, you know, in any choices. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, this has been a wonderful beginning, and we have another few, we have a whole rest of the hour to go, but now it's time for a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be right back with Lalita or Leora.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Thank you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We're here with Lalita, who's a student of Wan Nitwan, and she's living in a city, I guess, in North New South Wales, Australia. And she's been telling us about Wanya's way of holding Reiki, which was that family comes first. So can you tell us a story about how that has manifested in your own practice?
Probably the story that I most think of is when my father died. And we moved up to northern New South Wales, and I'd been driving back. We moved up to just north of Kyoga. We were living bush. And I used to drive back to Sydney and do the workshops. And every couple of months, it was a very intense changeover.
Uh-huh, because you were living really in the country.
Yeah.
And then
we were living in the bush.
Okay, country, what is that? What does bush mean? Then I need to have some help here.
Country is rural. Bush is outback. So people in Kyoga consider themselves living in the bush. We don't live in the country. We live in the bush. I don't live in Kyoga now. It was just a little bit too outback for me.
So what is the difference? So rural is like you're in farmland and you have, you know, you have neighbors, but they're kind of far away. Or
I think it's probably more the industry and the size of the properties, and the number of facilities that you have close.
Uh-huh.
Like we had in Kyoga, we had 5 banks and 2 pubs and 1 supermarket and a doctor and a dentist. And there were other shops there, but it was really, really away from town living. It was really country, you know, bush living. Uh-huh. But country is sort of rural and more sort of town living in a city living in a big town.
Uh-huh.
But country, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, it was a great contrast.
It was.
To then go into Sydney, which is a huge, bustling city.
Oh, not only that, but we lived in the inner city. So uh-huh. We lived in Glebe, where you could get great coffee and croissant any time of the day or night. We moved to Kyoga, where their idea of cappuccino was instant coffee with froth on top. And forget the croissant. You couldn't get coffee or croissant any time of the day or night. It was just...
Oh, that's a good comparison. So, you were going back and forth?
Yeah, every couple of months. I would drive. It was a 10-hour drive,
and
I'd just drive it every couple of months. And then it became really clear that my father was dying. He had prostate cancer, which was operated on, and we were treating him with Reiki. He let me initiate him into Reiki when he was 80. It was beautiful, a really beautiful experience. But it became very obvious that he wasn't going to come out of this one. And it was actually about 6 months. And we nursed him at home. My brother and sister-in-law and I got together. Anasuya came up for Christmas and decided she was going to stay. And she actually made her university let her do the course she was going to do from a distance, which it didn't offer. Didn't offer that course, but she made it happen, and she became his companion, and so we just looked after him. And it was really understanding second childhood was not about them becoming silly, and again, it was about not being able to leave them like you can't leave a toddler. It was that same needing to nurture in
Beautiful.
That way. Yeah. And I'd always given Dad Reiki, whether he wanted it or not, whether he knew it or not. And I checked that out. I know you're not supposed to send Reiki against people's wishes, but when I thought about sending him Reiki, because he just used to say no to everything, and the moment I gave him Reiki, after 30 seconds he said, take your hands off. I don't know what you're doing, but it's hurting. Take your hands off. So he wouldn't let me do hands-on. And when I checked out the rite, I just had this... memory of him with me on the bed, because I had tropical ulcers, and he used to have to put hot poultices on the ulcers when we first came to Australia. from Manchester, and he'd say, look, it's for your own good. And he was very gentle, but it hurt like hell, you know, hot poultices on tropical ulcers. And so I thought, right, you old bugger, this is for your own good. The right of the child.
Right.
And he was actually fine. I knew how to check it out, and he was fine with it. But towards the end, he... anyway, this was it. I mean, I just gave everything up, and I knew that that's all I wanted to do was look after him until he died. And and I'd be giving him Reiki, and he would be sitting there saying, oh, can you feel the peace? Can you feel the peace? And he, as he died, I had my hands on him, giving him Reiki, and I... Anasir had gone down to Sydney and is this okay to talk about this?
Yeah.
Anasir had gone down to Sydney and I had my hands on him and my head had fallen onto his chest. It was about 2:45 in the morning. And I'd had a real sense to stay with him that night. It was my sister-in-law's turn, but I really wanted to be with him that night, and I asked her if she minded if I took the night shift, which she didn't, you know, it was fine. And so Ian and I went and we stayed with him in this one room. And as I had my hands on him and my head fell down, it was like I was thinking, oh, Anasuya's coming back from Sydney, but that's okay. And Johnny's on a geography excursion, but that's okay. And then I felt his breathing change and I knew that this was it. And I said to Ian, come over. And we both just had our hands on him and he just... took one breath and then a shallower breath, and then I was able to say the Shema Yisrael while he was dying, and he just went, you know. It was just, we had the mantra playing in the background, and it was just the most amazing experience. And actually giving him Reiki as he was dying and just feeling in tune with what was going on, and it was a beautiful experience rather than a real, you know. Yeah. And he hung around until the next afternoon. He was there, you could feel him there, and then we honoured his body, and that was okay. He knew we were going to be okay, and he went.
Beautiful story. Yeah. Wow. Really touches my heart. Wonderful. You know, we in the Reiki community often talk about birthing and the gift that Reiki has been to midwives and birthing mothers and fathers and so on. And now the stories come to us about people who have been able to give their loved ones Reiki as they've died and to allow this process of Reiki to somehow create this peaceful, holy, sacred place of death instead of it being a fearful trauma for everyone. It becomes something that's really a passage, a rite of passage, and it's really beautiful.
Lovely. And yeah. And vital, because when I was with him and experienced his dying, it took something away, took some of my fear. Because I was there and I saw, I actually experienced him die, and I thought, that's what we don't do now. We've cheated ourselves in our modern day and age, because death is sort of relegated to hospitals and tubes, and you just don't see the merging. You know, that you don't see that whole spiritual level of what death really is.
Time for a deep breath, everyone.
And a snotty blow.
Yeah. So, I'm just wondering, you were here in Australia and Wanya was in Canada. And I'm just thinking, did she come down to Australia quite often, or how did you keep in contact with her?
She'd initiated a whole group of us from the ashram. So there were a group of us who did Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't really do Reiki shares, but we it just stayed with us, and it grew with us. It just grew, and we just practiced Reiki. Irma Gustafsson.
Oh, came. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And so it was more through Irma that we kept in touch. But Wanya was just such a big presence after that in who I was. So whenever anything came up with Reiki, I would just think, well, how would Wanya handle this? And so it was, I guess that's really the way that I kept in touch with her. I didn't have any other contact. And then Irma came, and I would keep... But Irma and I had a very fiery relationship that got a lot better after she became a Reiki master. Like, it really changed. And it wasn't until I was going to be a Reiki master that... That was... Because I never thought I could be a Reiki master. I mean, I had Reiki masters. It was just not something that I'd ever thought that I could do. And the way... Can I mention this now? Because it's sort of...
I don't know what you're going to say, so it's hard for me to know.
Well, it's... I was just in my meditation room, and I felt ready to do something, and I was going to write a letter. I wrote a letter to Guru Mai to ask her what I should do, you know, just to get some sense of direction. And I said, I do Reiki and I do massage. I'm a singer and I'm a parent. And what, you know, have you got any idea what I can... I feel like I need to go back into the world and work. What can I do? And I posted the letter, and the next day I was in my meditation room looking at my Reiki certificates, and then suddenly this... It was like somebody had punched me from underneath my coccyx, and this bolt of Shakti, bolt of energy, just went right up my spine into my head, and it was like I knew that I wanted to be a Reiki master.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah. That's beautiful.
So
we're going to... Sorry to leave you all hanging, but we're going to take a station break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolight massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're here today with Lalita, and she's in the process of telling us how she became a Reiki master. So you were sitting with and experiencing this bolt of energy called Shakti, which is from the Hindu language, or
probably
Shakti. Yeah. And and so you knew that you were to become a Reiki master.
I knew I was to ask.
To ask. Okay, good correction. So
I phoned Irma, who I really had the... I was terrified of Wanya by this stage, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I'd built her up into this sort of Valkyrie almost in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And so I phoned Irma and asked her if I could do it. And she said, oh, well, you'll have to phone Wanya, and here's Wanya's number. So I sat with that for a couple of days, and then I just took a deep breath and I phoned Wanya. And the moment I phoned Wanya, I realized that she, remember that she said now, oh, I've just been waiting for you to call me.
That sounds totally like Wanya.
Yeah. And I asked her if I could become a Reiki master. And she said, oh, well, you'll have to write me a letter. And the fee is $10,000. And at that stage, we were so much in debt, it wasn't funny. But when she said it, I just knew it would be okay. I just knew I can do this. You know, this is something, this is so important to me that I can do this.
Uh-huh.
And so I sat for 3 months. It took me 3 months to write the letter. And in that 3 months, I went through, I'd been practicing Reiki for about 4 years. And I'd been practicing Reiki solidly with my family, and I'd even started a little practice because I used to have a massage practice. So I'd been working really solidly, and I just knew that Reiki was what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
But and it, by the time I'd written the letter, I think I'd become not a beggar, but a requester.
It had really changed
Beautiful. Me writing the letter. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote the letter to her, and she phoned back, and she said, well, that's very good, but I have to come to Australia. She didn't tell me that she would initiate me. I didn't know until the day before my initiation that she would actually initiate me. So she, and this, you're asking how she holds the energy. This was all part of it for me. It was just my relationship with her that was ongoing,
mm-hmm.
that just grew and uh-huh. grew.
Uh-huh.
And she was always there. Uh-huh. You know, I never did anything before I checked out, well, how would Wanya do this? You know, it was like very important. And with my Siddha Yoga training, it was like, this is how you work with a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So she came to Australia. I had to buy the ticket without knowing whether she would initiate me. And I remember she did this circle. And everybody's sitting there really eager to hear her. And me, who's the master candidate, is sitting there absolutely knocked out. I mean, I thought it was either going to kill me or I was going to get initiated. It was the most powerful thing that I'd ever done in my life.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, one of the most powerful things.
Uh-huh.
Most challenging, because I knew what I was asking.
We'll get back to that in a moment. So then what happened? So she had the circle of people and...
Well, it was just a circle to talk and to meet her. It uh-huh. was for people who she or Irma had initiated to meet her. And then a couple of days later, she phoned me and she said, well, Lalita, tomorrow's June the 1st. It's a very good day. Come for lunch. And I just knew that this was it. And I put the phone down and I bounced up and down the hall in glee. I just was so overjoyed. You know, it was just like, wow. And so I went over and I died and was reborn. And that was it. And here I am. And I guess a couple of times a year I phone Wanya and we talk for about an hour, and we just chew over things and talk Reiki, and that's how I keep in touch now. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my wonderful stories about Wanya is that when I was first a young Reiki master, and actually was on a kind of vision quest to decide whether or not I wanted to continue this, not knowing whether I actually had a choice or not. But I decided that I would go up to British Columbia after the year, it was the summer after I met her and a number of other people. And I decided to go up there, and I spent about 6 weeks in their area. And Wanya kept saying to me, you should have an astrology reading. And I kept saying, but I don't even know what astrology is. She said, oh, you don't need to know. Just go get it. Just go get it. And then she gave me this name scribbled on a little scrap of paper with a phone number, right? So I'm trying to call this guy. And She said, oh, you know, she said, I'm going to see him probably in the next couple of days. I'll tell him about you, and then, you know, you'll just go and have the reading. And I went, well, okay. So, I mean, I hardly know what astrology is at this point. So, finally I get word, somehow, that this reading is to happen. And I have to travel to this place where he's working. And he was working as a fruit picker, which is quite normal in the southern part of British Columbia. So I went to this cherry orchard, and I asked for this man. And it turned out, because I had U.S. license plates on my car, they thought I was an immigration undercover agent or something. So... Oh, yeah, he's here, but he won't be back for, you know, a couple of days or something. So I'm going, well, I've, you know, one, you sent me here. I've got to stay. I mean, I never thought about leaving, which is really says a lot about the power of one. Yeah. Kind of, oh, yeah, you should do this. Oh, yeah, and then she laughs in her usual laugh, which is hysterical. So then I said, okay, so I bought a flat of cherries, and basically I hung out red books and just threw cherry pits out my car window and waited for this guy. And finally, I said, you know, I'm here for an astrology reading, and if he wants to check me out, he should call Wanya, which I guess he did, because eventually I actually got together with him in somebody's house somewhere, mm-hmm. and I had this astrology reading, and it was the most incredible thing. Like, I can remember, I can close my eyes and see him, and see him with my charts, and me sitting there going, wow, wow, wow. I mean, he described the relationship with my father, exactly. The relationship with my mother, exactly. How many brothers and sisters I had, what my life had been like up till then, generally. And that my grandmother was giving me a gift, and that this gift was something that I was to last me a lifetime. And this was before my grandmother died. And, you know, I didn't see Reiki as a gift in that moment. I mean, I had no idea what he was talking about, and I just thought, oh, maybe she's going to give me some money. So anyway, I thought, well, okay, Wanya's telling me to do this. I guess I better pay attention. And up to this day, that reading has stayed with me and totally on some, well, come true is not quite the right meaning. But, you know, one of the things that I really love about Wanya is that coming from the from Scandinavia, and being up there with some of the group of Reiki people that I have been, they have a very different way of looking at the world. It's a kind of very fairy-like, very, what is the word? It's not esoteric, but kind of lightly...
It's mystical.
Mystical. Maybe that's the word I want. It's like this amazing thing of trust in the universe, but also that everything has spirit, and that that spirit is to be honored, and that... but there's a lightness about it that I... you know, I've been very serious in my life, basically, and you know, for me, sometimes Wanya's sort of things that she does, I just go, "Aren't you afraid?" And she goes, "No, what's there to be afraid about?"
Yeah.
So yeah. I just loved that she introduced me on this path by getting me to go to this astrology reading and then sending me off to do different things. Or I would call up and she would say, "Oh, I'm so happy you called because I need a ride." Because she doesn't drive, right?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I constantly drove her around all over Canada and the United States, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was amazing. We had amazing adventures.
Like when, after I was initiated as a master, and after things started changing in the form, or, well, not changing in the form, but people started making differences in the form that I found really jangling. I mean, it just upset me so much. And I would get on the phone and talk to her, and it was the way that she was with the energy that just helped me. And I can't really, it wasn't that an acceptance of it, it was more understanding that this was the way that it had to, that it had to be, because this was the way it was. So it wasn't that I had to accept it, because I couldn't accept it or countenance what was, I mean, I'm okay to speak.
Yeah,
like
totally.
But it was understanding that this was not my design. This was a design that I had to honour and respect, because it was the design that was happening, whether I liked it or not. And it was, and it was that lightness, and I hadn't even thought of it, but it was that lightness that I love. Even now, like, I'll call Wanya. Wanya can be away for 6 months or 3 months or something. I'll call her on the day that she comes home. Oh, Lalita, I'm glad you called. I just got home. You know, it's like there's this tuning in. Somehow she knows everything's all right, and she's able to just tune in. And I love that, and that's what. Sometimes I get really stuck in my own mind, and I just love talking to Wanya, because she's wonderful to talk things out, out with like that.
Well, unbelievably, we're to another station break. I don't know where the time goes, but here it has gone. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com, and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Lalita, or Leora, as the case may be, and we're having fun reminiscing about our experiences with Wanya Twan. And, yes, so what were you saying?
I was just saying when you talked about the way Wanya told you to have the reading, that's what she did with me with music. We were sitting in my back garden in Glebe, and I was playing the guitar and singing a bit, and she said, oh, you should get back into music. I had no thoughts of getting back into music, and a few years later I was singing jazz, and then I moved up to the Northern Rivers and singing klezmer, and I made the CD, and I was like, I was back into music again. And I always remember when I used to remember thinking, oh, Wanya told me to do this, it's her fault.
So tell me what music is to you.
Music has always been life to me. So no matter what state I'm in, if I can start singing, I'll come back to life. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, no wonder she said you should get back into music.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite? Well, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is presumptuous, but for all of us who know Wanya Twan, we have kind of favorite Wanya Twan stories, and I'm just wondering if you happen to have one.
Oh, no. No, I don't have a favorite because each one is...
Okay, I thought she doesn't have any Wanya stories. And I say this with all respect and honor to Wanya. She is really a very special being. And one of the things that she did very, very early on, the minute that my grandmother died, she started carrying around a little video camera.
Yeah.
And she videoed and took archive. She said, we have to archive this time. And she ran around and interviewed people. And I thought that was so amazing. I mean, she has this kind of vision that just astonishes me. And it takes me into places in myself where I have to laugh. And she likes that because it is this kind of mystical lilting. There's a lilting kind of quality to her place, but it's totally serious and totally deep. Yeah,
it's very hard to. Sorry, Wanya. It's very hard to crack a joke with Wanya. Yeah. I just. Oh. Can you pause that? So I don't have one story, but when I thought about what you said, I thought about when she came here the first time and we took her to the Janolan Caves and we took her camping, and what I saw was that everywhere that she went, everyone that she touched changed. She just it was like she had this way of honoring whoever that person was in a way that they hadn't ever been honored before, and you could see people melting and responding to her in a way that would somewhat sometimes take them by surprise. I'm just thinking of Belltrees. We stayed on an amazing place called Belltrees, which had a camp there, and it was a new age camp that was happening. It was in the Blue Mountains. And the custodians of Belltrees were really upset because the New Age people had come in and had not honoured the energy of the place. And Wanya spoke to them, and you could just see them start to, that, like their energy was absolutely jagged and on edge from trying to hold the energy of the place that was being trampled by all these New Age people who thought they were in tune with the place. And I just remember one year, the way they calmed down and came back into center. And it was okay. It was like what was happening, but it was actually okay. They were able to reach a place where they could deal with it mm-hmm. without it tearing them apart. And she seemed to do that everywhere we went.
Mm-hmm.
And even she was invited to lead a meditation in Parliament House. And so I drove her to Canberra from Sydney, and I did. This was a good one. She was looking at my speedo. We were late, of course. I mean, who could be on time with me and one trying to get somewhere? So I'm speeding along, and suddenly she looks at me and says, "Hadn't you better slow down?" And we came over the rise, and there was a policeman with a speed camera. You know, it was just these sort of things. Like, she just seemed to be, in tune.
So tell me about her. She led a meditation in Parliament?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened, but somehow they let her. They used to have some sort of contemplation on a Thursday, I think it was, and she was invited to lead.
This is with the legislators?
Yeah, with anybody who wanted to be there. I think that was I met a couple of the women, especially. Yeah, I mean, not many of the men came, but there were a few people there. Like there were a few people who did the meditation.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. Other wonder stories. I had an interesting experience the night before she left. She came to Sydney. We organised a whole series of workshops for people who had been initiated in Wanya's lineage to meet her, in Wanya's line to meet her. And the night before, it was a really beautiful traveling. Like we traveled, we did a few country areas and we traveled around. And the night before, I had this ridiculous experience where I was driving the car one way and went to do like a U-turn and ended up the other direction on the other side of the highway. It was like somebody had, I don't know how I got there, somebody had picked me up and just plonked me on the other side of the highway. And I came back and I was like streaming with tears because she was leaving the next day and I really didn't want her to go. I'd just driven someone home. And she started telling me how these things happened to her, experiences that she'd had of a similar ilk. And, yeah, just little experiences with a glasses case that showed up one day in the middle of her brown... It was a brown glasses case that she'd lost. She'd lost it somewhere, and one day it showed up in the middle of her white carpet. And those kind of experiences were starting to happen to me, like with things that had disappeared and they would just show up somewhere. I mean, that's not her story that I can tell, but it's part of who she is.
Yeah, she's really an amazing person. Well, I'm hoping to, at some point, be able to interview one. You're right now, she's not missing, but I can't get a hold of her.
I know that one, too. It's like, hello, Wanya, where are you? Yeah. No answer.
Yeah. Annalie says that she's somewhere, and that's her daughter. And what's really wonderful, and this is a little note of interest for those listeners, I'm going to interview Anasuya. This is the... Lalita's daughter, and we're going to have a series of interviews later on, maybe even in the beginning of next year, in 2009, of interviews of children that have received Reiki and now are grown up, and their life path, and how they feel that Reiki has been there for them during their life, and their own stories, which I think there is amazing. Such an amazing generation that has come out. And I just know that one of the things that always just, on one hand, sometimes horrified me, and on the other hand, I just was in awe of, was the way that Wanya was with her two girls, Annalie and Chrissy. Mm-hmm. And they were, I think, 8 and 10 or something when I met them the first time when I first met Wanya. And they were in the classes with my grandmother. And just her saying, now you're going to do Reiki. And I'm going, well, don't they get a choice? And then I thought, well, I didn't get a choice either. But how amazing it has been for her to hold that space with family.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing concept for her that I've really learned and taken in. And one of my other wonderful stories about family is that when we would go to her house, I mean, these kids now were probably 10 and 12, and they had all their friends, and they would be upstairs in this house listening to some shoot 'em up cop show on TV, and we would be downstairs doing our healing circle, our Reiki circle, and so we'd have these moments of silence with these bangs of the kids screaming upstairs and rolling down the stairs and running through the circle and asking for a jam and peanut butter jelly sandwich or something like that. And you know, and afterwards I would take Wanya aside and go, well, like, can't we just have it be a bit more quiet? And she would go, Phyllis, if you have to take time out of your daily life to be spiritual, you'll never get to be spiritual. She said, just do it. And I was going, but. And my sort of, I don't know whether it's Japanese or just my fanaticism about having everything perfect. So, but you know, like I wanted it to be just holy and quiet and stuff. And she said, well, holy and quiet doesn't come around very much in anybody's life.
Not when you've got 4 or 5 children, as Wanya once put it. Right. How many children do you have, Wanya? Oh, 4 or 5.
Oh, gosh. So it was quite amazing. I mean, her teachings were just so brilliant.
You know, like, both her daughters are Reiki masters. Yeah. Her grandson has just become a Reiki master, or is in training to be a Reiki master. My daughter's a Reiki master. Like, she came back and, you know, she'll tell her own story. And that isn't that how the children actually, because they've been accepted in as part of it all along, then they follow, they want to tread the same path. It's not they follow the path, but they want to tread the same path.
Well, because they found the value of it.
And because they were valued in it. They weren't pushed aside. They were valued in it. They were part of it, I think. Phyllis, you're looking at me.
No, it's really too bad that you interpreted my look, because I just felt like, what a beautiful sentence to end with.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because that's so true.
Yeah.
And it speaks so much about this quality that we've all gained from her teaching.
Mm.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll be back next week. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.